So light it up, let his love shine. Stories of grace, hope redefined. Heart to heart, let's lift our eyes. Welcome home to light it up alive. Lift our eyes. Welcome home to light it up alive. Welcome home to light it up alive.
Hey, we're back. Welcome to another episode of Light It Up Live, where we're igniting minds, elevating faith. My name's John. I'm your host tonight, but I'll do it alone because I got my boy Josh with me.
Hey, what's happening, man? How you doing today?
Good, my brother. Something happened to my intro music, and I'm clicking away, and it ain't working, but we're going to keep right on rolling, brother.
Keep
right on rolling. At least our intro worked, but that's okay. We're going to keep right on trucking. You guys remember that we're live on YouTube. We also have a YouTube channel. You guys make sure you go over to YouTube in the search bar, put at Let It Up Live, all one word, and subscribe for us. Check it out. But before we always get started, we'd like to remind you guys how we came up with the name Light It Up Live. And Josh, that came from Genesis 1:3-4, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. That's what we try to do here on Light It Up Live. We try to bring a little bit of light into a dark world, one episode at a time. What's up, my brother?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm blessed. I'm excited about today, dude.
Yeah, I'm excited about today, too. We got a great guest, right?
Ooh, who we got over in the green room? I'm excited, boy.
Yes, sir.
It is going to be good, you guys. We got Dr. Rob Kelly sitting in the green room. He's going to join us very, very shortly. Yes, and, man, it's going to be fire. It's going to be a good one, man. We're blessed that he did it. He's a busy man, and he usually don't do these things on the weekends, but he's here for Light It Up Live, and we're so excited and we're blessed, man. But you got a spotlight before we pull in, Dr. Rob Kelly, brother?
Yeah, man, I got a little tiny spotlight for today.
Let's see if I can get your spotlight music. Oh yeah.
Okay.
What
time it is? It's time for Josh's spotlight.
Oh, I love your music for your spotlight, dude. Spotlight. You're muted, brother. I can't hear you, Josh.
There we go. All right. Well, no, my spotlight today is on Martin Luther King. In March, he began his From Selma to Montgomery March. Started in 1965 and it ended March 25th. Mm-hmm. And it was just something in remembrance. I was looking up, you know, things that happened, this month in history. Yeah. On March 9th, King led another march attempt, but turned the marches around when state troopers again blocked the roads. On March 21st, U.S. Army troops and Federalized Alabama National Guardsmen escorted the marchers across Edmund Pudit's Bridge and down Highway 80. When the highway narrowed to two lanes, only 300 marchers were permitted, but thousands more rejoined the Alabama Freedom March as it came into Montgomery on March 25th. And that all happened in 1965. So let's take a minute to remember that. And
amen,
you know
brother.
What I'm saying? And that's my spotlight, man. You know?
Hey, man, I love it.
Short I was so hyped sweet. About the guest. I really,
I know,
you know what I'm saying?
I
had
know,
more
yeah.
put together, and I was like, hey, can we just make the show about him? You know what I mean? Because
right.
it is. It really is right now.
That's
so.
Right. Well, guys, we're gonna pull in our guest, man. Y'all be ready for this one. He is the owner, I believe, the owner and founder of the Rob Kelly Group. And we're gonna pull him in, man. Dr. Rob yeah. Kelly. Give it up to Dr. Rob Kelly, everybody. Come on, man.
Right on. Guys,
what's up? What's up? What's up?
Oh my goodness,
doing,
man. We're so excited to have you here, dude.
Thank you so much
for taking time out of your busy schedule and your busy weekend, man, with your family. Thank you so much for jumping on with us, man. It's an absolute blessing. What you do for this world is a blessing. So we're thrilled to have you on here, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, man. It's good to be here. Looking forward to it. It's exciting.
Absolutely. You know, I've been studying your bio, man. I feel like I know you. I've been studying your bio, so man, I've got so many questions, man. Your story is just so powerful, man. But before I get into questions, you just want to give a little bit of background on who Dr. Rob is, man.
Yeah, of course. Hey guys, my name's Dr. Rob Kelly over in San Antonio, Texas. As you can tell by my accent, I'm from East Texas. No, I'm joking. Manchester, England. I've been in America for 20 years now. I only came for 3 weeks and stayed. So although I wasn't born here, guys, I got here as quick as I could, I can assure you. And
amen.
We've got five offices around the world. I have run four companies. They're all recovery-based, faith-based companies. We're multi-million dollar companies. You know, we enjoy ourselves. We give a lot back to people. We give hundreds of thousands of dollars back to people. And we just do what we do because we love what we do. You know, it's all about giving back. I'm lucky enough today to not get involved in the business side of this because we'd be broke because I just want to help everybody. So, you know, we have sliding scales. We have a nonprofit that will pay for people to come if they can't afford it. You know, we did a beautiful, about a month ago, we got a guy a 12 months lease on a new apartment, fully furnished. And we bought him a little car and paid his attorney fees. And he went to court and got his children back for the weekend. So he gets them again now as a recovered alcoholic and addict. So awesome. That's the kind of stuff we do, man. We just bless people on a daily basis, man. Cause you know, who are we not to?
Hey, man, and you once struggled too yourself, didn't you, Dr. Rob? So you understand what these people are going through yourself.
Yeah, I was a chronic alcoholic. I lost everything, little baby girls, houses, cars, wives, and then little homeless. And I was homeless for about 14 months.
Wow.
So the crazy thing is it was a horrendous journey. I hated everybody. I didn't like anybody. You know, all this stuff. But when I had the spiritual awakening and I look back now, I know that God was taking me through that so I call it a semester at Harvard.
Yeah.
It was molding me and into this person that when somebody comes up and goes, what do you know, doctor, about homelessness? Check. Losing your kids? Check. All these checks have been done. That's what qualifies me to be here, not the diplomas and the college. No, that doesn't mean nothing. When you're sat in front of somebody who's dying of untreated alcoholism, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing that matters is where you've been and where you can take them.
Hey, man. Now, do you think that was the moment that you told yourself, if I don't change right now, I'm not going to make it? Do you think that was the defining moment when you were homeless?
Well, I'm on the streets for 14 months, one night, about 2 or 3 o'clock Monday morning. I'm walking around the back ends of Manchester and it's pouring down with rain. I've already died twice on the streets. Back to life. I hated those men for that. Dropped down to my hands and knees. I was crying like a baby. Wasn't crying because I lost my babies and everything. I was crying because the first time in my life I realized I couldn't stop drinking. I don't know why I did this, guys, but I looked up to the sky and I said, if there's a God up there, I can't do this on my own anymore. 30 seconds later, in the middle of nowhere, there's a guy called Derek. He'd missed his last bus home from a Bible study. He'd walked for an hour. He took a shortcut he's never taken before, and he came upon me. He took me back to his house, and he said this to me, Rob. He said, hey, listen, I'm a Christian. I'm in recovery. You can stay for as long as you want and build your life, but you've got to come to these AA meetings with me. And I said, I don't want to do it. I can't stand it. And he said, well, Rob, I can't have you drinking in the house. So I went to the meeting the next day. When I'm there, people are sharing and stuff. And this guy said, my name's John and I'm a recovered alcoholic, is what he said. I was shocked. So I went, oh, he talks about God. He talks about Jesus in the book, the Big A, page 11, second word. And I asked him, would he sponsor me? And he said, no, but I'll be his spiritual advisor for 12 weeks. Well, I went there every week, every Wednesday, left Derek's and Sitcock there for 7, stayed till 8 and back for 9. The weird thing is I couldn't go up to his third floor apartment and knock on the door until exactly 7. So if I got there like 1:45, I had to wait. And at 7:58, mid-conversation, he'd walk me out. So we did this amazing 12 weeks. He told me everything that had come through. Things started to change immediately the next day. And I was teaching stuff that nobody else had heard. I was teaching stuff and people were getting well, guys. Anyway, after about 2 weeks, I got a pay packet. I got a small job, went round to his house, got a little teddy bear and a card. And I wrote on the card, thank you, John, for introducing me to God, because he, with a capital H, took the compulsion away, banged on his doors, no answer. And then knocked, and the woman on the right-hand side came out and she said, can I help you? I said, yeah, where's John? He's like, is he home? Has he moved? She said, John who? I said, your neighbor. She said, I'm on nights, blah, blah, blah. So I went round to the other door where the guy was, knocked on his door, big guy comes, what do you want? Where's John? John who? John, your neighbor. What's wrong with you guys? And he said, he went on to tell me that if I was to walk in that house, I'd fall 3 floors down and kill myself. So I goes back to the meeting where I met John. And when I went in, the chairman was like, Rob, I was like, oh, thank God for that. I thought I was going insane. And it says, just John, what time does John get here? And he said, John who? And I said, the guy was over in the coffee machine. I was speaking to him about being sponsored. He said, Rob, we thought you were praying. You're speaking to yourself. Never found that man.
Wow.
When I started to get wealthy, I put the best private detective agency in England, and nobody could trace
that
it.
Was an angel, brother.
Yes. Well, I won't share that story for 15 years, first of all.
Wow.
The stuff that we teach with a 98% success rate is absolutely unheard of. The nearest to us is 12%. Yeah. We have a 98 with 11,500 patients. It's because of what John Showman and God wanted me to do.
And now what we haven't touched on yet, and you know we got to talk about this, boy, was that studio. when you guys haven't heard yet is that Dr. Rob actually in the studio played bass for Queen, Elton John. Who else was it? Was it David Bowie?
Yeah.
David Bowie?
Yeah.
Oh, I love some David Bowie.
Wow. Was that studio time, was that before the homeless and the breakdown or after?
Yeah, before.
It was before. Now, where was your mind at during those points? Or you know, were you drunk the whole time through that? Or
yeah. Yeah, kind of, you know, and that's why they got introduced to cocaine. I had to do 7 auditions for that against seasoned pro. But I come from a musical family. I'm on stage playing at 9 years old professionally. So I've got one of the minds, you either do it or you don't. You either be the best in the world or you don't touch it. Yeah. So when I got that position, I remember stood outside, first audition, scared stiff, little kid, you know, got the train up with his guitar. And I thought I'll just have one beer, you know, before I go in to calm the nerves. And gets back home later that day, they sent me a letter saying you want to come in again. So when I got again, I had 2 beers for the second interview. I had 7 auditions there, so I had 7 beers before I went in to do the final audition and passed. So what that told me is when I drink, I'm successful.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I had some great times, man. I mean, I just, Elton John's a pig.
why do you say Elton John's a pig?
He's so moody, man. So we're in the studio one night. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning. It's pouring down with rain. It's lightning. It's thundering. And what they used to have, and this is back in the day, guys, they used to have a generator that kicked in if the power went off. Well, the power went off twice, and it was like a millisecond before it kicked in, but it's no good. At the end, Elton gets up, and that's it, and that. So we all go back to his, we're at the Savoy Hotel at the time. It was the most exclusive hotel in the world. We're in the penthouse suite. there's me, some guitarists, there's some girls, there's stuff, paraphernalia. And I hear Elton screaming in the bedroom. And I'm going, what the hell's wrong? So as I walk in the bedroom, picture this, guys, listen to this. As I walked into the bedroom, Elton John is on the phone screaming at the duty manager that if he doesn't stop the rain and the wind in the next 10 minutes, he will never book into the... And that's the crazy world I was in. It's just crazy.
How about David Bowie? Did you like working with him?
Beautiful guy, man. Absolutely. Yeah, I did. You know, I'd go in sessions to do sessions with them. And Freddie Mercury changed my life, man. He... We spent many and many wee hours just chatting. Oh, I'm telling you, man, he just changed, man. He changed my life.
Wow.
They have a mural of Freddie Mercury down off of 1792 here in Orlando. It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. It is so awesome. Let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. At the end of the song, We Are the Champions, what was the last thing that he said?
It's not of the world.
It's not.
Okay. Everyone thinks it is of the world. It's not.
Yeah, me and Josh have been talking about that for about 3 years.
I have
been,
because I looked up all my old concerts and I was watching the concerts and I heard the crowd say "of the world" at the end of the song.
So why did you want to say it then?
I don't know, because it's not on none of the actual albums. No. Everything I got, I even got the vinyl. I broke out the vinyl and put it on. I'm like, where did it go?
Yeah. Champions was the last word of that song.
Yeah,
everybody will get it wrong. Yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it wrong.
I thought it was of the world.
Yeah.
I thought he said that of the world.
Yeah.
The-
yeah. Guess I didn't know, man. Well,
the turning point, Dr. Rob, you talked about spiritual awakening on the streets of Manchester. What happened in that moment, that spiritual awakening? What happened? You know what I mean?
When Derek came up the first minute, that it was something happened there. Because I've been approached loads of times, you okay, you know, but it was the weirdest situation in the most quiet place, desolate place in Manchester with just offices there. Everything fell into place and that was it. I when I met John, I kind of disbelieved what he was telling me, that you're going to go around the world and guarantee people can recover.
Right.
In 81 or whatever it was, 85, I don't know. But I was doing that for a few months, and then people were getting well and I was seeing miracles happen on a daily basis. And then that was kind of when it hit me to go, he's given me the power. He didn't give it to the surgeons and the politicians. He gave it to us, the broken. He gave it to the guy that stabbed his wife 3 times one night because she wanted to finish her bottle of vodka. He gave it to the guy who left his children in dangerous places because he wanted to drink. He gave it to us, man. And when I knew I had that power, I knew it was my responsibility to travel the world and help as many people as I can. So with my TV and books and everything, there's millions and millions of people that I've touched. I know that. And that's the goal, man. So I'm 65 now, and somebody said a few days ago, when you're going to retire, you must be ready. You've earned enough money. So first of all, we give half our money away. What am I going to do with all this money? Are you kidding me? And secondly, I'll never retire. How do you retire from God's job? How
come on, come on, boy.
Thanks for everything, God. But I'll tell you what, I know one thing, guys, okay? When I get to heaven, okay, and I'm standing in front of Jesus, do you know what he's not going to ask me? How much was that house you were living in? How much was that Bentley you bought?
Come on, man.
He's going to ask me one thing. How many people did you help? How many people did you bring to me? Well, that's what he's going to ask, man, and I want a big number. That's it. Boom, finished.
Let's go.
Yeah, right. You know what he is going to tell you, too? You can bring them glasses in with you. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, I didn't really know who he was, and John's like, look this guy up, check him out. And I started looking over the last, like, 3 or 4 days, and it said he's from Manchester, and I saw the glasses, and I was like, you ain't wrong. Definitely.
That's right.
Definitely.
So let's
let me tell you a little secret behind the glasses.
Yeah.
I've got 18 pairs, first of all. And they're all crazy colors. And I wear them because this is what happens. I wear them for conversation starters. Because when I'm going public, I love your glasses. And I go, thank you. Oh, my God, you're from England. Yeah, what do you do? Well, I'm a doctor that helps people. You know, oh, my uncle. Oh, my daughter. Oh, my. So they've got, everybody knows somebody who's suffering.
Yes.
And if you don't, it's probably you. Everybody knows somebody who's suffering. So that's one of the reasons why I wear them.
Wow.
Because you never know, man. You never know when. This is what I'm most scared of. So people pay a lot of money to come to us. A lot of money. I get. We have a sliding scale. But I don't care how much money they pay. I want to know if I can lead you to Jesus. That's it.
Oh,
and if I can't, I won't take you. We turned down one of the biggest pop stars in the world, A, because she wasn't ready, and two, she said she'd never believe in God. And I turned down, and her father stood up with a $1 million check. This was 19 years ago. He said, Dr. Rob, I'll give you this check right now. You, I can't do it. Yeah. See, I don't do this for the money. God takes care of the money side. I do this because I've been given the power, with capital P, the power to help others. And he's put me in charge of the recovery department. And I take that job very seriously.
Hey, man, let's talk about the Rob Kelly Group. When, what year did you start the Rob Kelly Group? And what exactly does the Rob Kelly Group do?
So we started 19 years ago. I've been over here about a year. And we started as a drug and alcohol practice. And with the neuroscience that we study, I write for Harvard about neuroscience. When neuroscience, rather than any medical therapy, we're neuroscientists. And we knew we could change the brain so we could cure addiction, cure depression, all that stuff. So we started doing that. So the recovery got dropped out the title. And now we help depressed, anxiety, PTSD, Alzheimer's, alcohol, drug, anything that you're going through, misconnection, you know, get you back in touch with God, get your business back, you know, get you a job, get back with a wife. I mean, we just anything to do with mental health, we help people. And, you know, we'll do all sorts of crazy stuff outside that to help people. But yeah, I mean, that's basically what we do. We're in Dallas, we're in San Antonio, Manchester, England, Switzerland, Spain. Natural fact, my daughter contacted me 4 years ago after 30-year estrangement. She introduced me to my 3-month-old granddaughter when I was there.
Amen.
She's a therapist in my Manchester office.
Yeah. So you plan on staying here in the States then?
Oh, this is it. Yeah, I'm going to. So I live in San Antonio. We also have a second house here, which uses a kind of retreat for people that are lost. But in about 3 or 4 years' time, I'll go down to the coast, Galveston or something. I'll buy a beach house there, and I will. The Rob Kelly Group, the Breath Box, all that stuff, Breath Box Studio will continue to work without me, but I'll always work in my home on telehealth or something. So when I say I'm never going to retire, I want to be 100 years old, still saving lives with the power of God.
Amen, brother. Now, Dr. Rob, after reading your bio and watching some of your videos, I've seen that you emphasize that addiction is a family issue. One, why is that so important? And two, what are families doing, and even sometimes unknowingly, that actually makes addiction worse? Because, man, I think that is such a problem right now. Because, you know, there's a fine line between enabling, you know, and I think that's a huge problem.
Yeah. You know, the family says people miss the family systems out of this, because what it was is you used to go to treatment, and then they bring the family and have a family weekend, and then the family would bash, let's say it's the father, when he does this, he did. No, that's not how we do things. Well, if the man is the alcoholic who's suffering, then the wife has to come on board, otherwise we don't take him, because the wife's going through her stuff, and the first thing they say is, hey, it's not my deal, it's not, you know, it's all his deal. And we go, no, what about the PTSD we've been suffering from? So they both work on the program. Anybody over the age of 18 has to join the program. The patient does 7 days a week, 1 hour a day. They do 2 hours a week. they swim to their own rafts, and we pull them back together as they reunite, speaking the same language, because recovery is as its own language. So we pull them together, and now the wife knows what's what, and they do, and the kids know exactly what's going on. Because if you pluck somebody out of an alcoholic house, stick them in treatment, treatment has its own language, as you know. And let's say the house is speaking Spanish, and we bring him over here and teach him English, and then we take him home 30 days later and we stick him in the Spanish-speaking house. Guess what? He's going to start speaking Spanish again. So the whole house needs the new language and the old house and not to enable that. Yes, it is his problem. Yes, you can fully cure and recover from this, but it's a family. So what we did our research and test on, we spent about $1.5 million on research and test, is that when the family is involved with their own PTSD and wellness, the success rate of the alcoholic alone goes up by 42%.
Wow.
Because we're 98%, and that's 42 before we even sit down in a room with him. Everyone's on board.
Wow.
We're working with everybody, you know.
And I think I read that the success rate of the Rob Kelly group is 97%. Is that what I've seen?
It's 98-ish now, yeah, with more patients.
Wow.
I still have 11,000 patients and you know, 20 years or whatever. But yeah, you know, the thing is that we are different is we can call any center right now and ask, you've got, you know, an alcoholic needs to come in. They're going to ask you one question. Have you got insurance?
Yes.
And if you haven't got insurance, you're in. No, you have to pass an assessment. You have to come down and let's say you're a center. You have to come down with the family. We interview you, we interview the family, and I will try all kinds of tricks to try and get you to fail the assessment. But if you fail, I go out to the parents and go, I'm sorry, I can't, you know, we can't do it. Because I know for a fact, okay, that I was given the responsibility of healing people. I was not given the responsibility of getting rich and not caring about people. And I will do that to the day I die.
God bless you, Dr. Rob. God bless
you. That's good stuff. So you pretty much give them such an assessment that you know for a fact that they can recover from their addiction or their problem. Yes.
We tell people we can cure you. And the whole, when I first came over here, I'm in here for 6 months. They stripped me of my license to practice. They said I was teaching woo-woo stuff and God stuff and I'm going to do damage and all that. I lectured to those people today, by the way. What's that about? We got our licenses back. And we're different. We're different to any other place. We guarantee. I'll refund your money if you relapse, if you continue our program and you leave us, because neuroscience was the game changer. Neuroscience goes straight hand in hand with some of the stuff in the Bible. And people go, what? Jesus was telling this stuff about changing minds. And now we found out neuroplasticity, which is changing minds.
Mm-hmm.
We blend science with Christianity is what we do.
Wow. Like
if you come to me and you go, listen, there's no way any in the world, I've got the money, everybody's there. But I tell you what, I'm not going to go down the spiritual way. I don't believe in Jesus. I can't help you.
No.
I'm not this clever. I wish I could tell
come
you.
Come on, man.
But I'm not. What this is my job. I reach down to the gutter as quick as I can. I grab your hand and I pass you on to him as quick as I can. Boom. That's why we're guaranteed recovery. Now,
come on, man. Right? You're getting me excited, Dr. Rob.
If you let go halfway through, you know, you let go halfway through the grab, that's on you. I can totally understand that.
Yeah. You know, it's just, are we serious? Can I introduce you to Jesus? Let's do this. We'll rebuild your life. You know, every movie star, every footballer, every musician has probably gone through our program that struggled and come out the other side, from rappers to, you know, normal people, toilet cleaners, everything, man. You come to our place, we're serious about this stuff. Don't bring your I'm not bothered attitude. You don't get past the door with that. And all my guys are alcoholics and addicts who've recovered from that hopeless state, all of them. So when you sit down with somebody, they've all been through. They all know the way. They all know he is protecting us. And if you don't buy into that, you don't get employed. Well, isn't that against the law? You don't get employed.
Well, and then you actually doing an assessment on the family. Yeah, you're right. You can't put someone back into an affected household. They're going to get sick again. You know, like me, if I would have came 2 years ago, my, you know what I'm saying, the people around me, not necessarily my mom or anything, but you know, they were alcoholics. You wouldn't have accepted me. You know what I mean? I couldn't have went back there.
Yeah,
totally understand that.
It's cool, but I mean, it's called the basal ganglia in the brain. It's a repetition, strengthened, and confirmed part of the brain. But anything that you've done before is stored in the subconscious. So when you go back, well, how can nine people change one? So you're the one person getting healed, but you go back to the same area with, let's say there's 9 or 10 people around you. How do we know that? Well, we've tried and tested and researched everything that we talk about. So we got 9 actors in our reception area, our waiting room, and they were told one thing: give you $100 for 12 minutes work. Go in, drink your coffee and stuff. Every time a buzzer goes, every 45 seconds, I want you to stand up and sit down. That's all. 2 seconds up, down. That's it. Then we called a patient in and said, hey, we've got this new Breathbox Studio track. It's software that we created. And it's free. Just come in. So she didn't know what was going on, but the rest of the guys did. Ah, first buzzer. Everyone stood up. She's on a phone. Quick, down. Okay? Everyone sat down. 45 seconds. Ah, everyone stood up again. So now we're into this by 2 minutes, okay? Up, phone in a lap, looking around. The third buzzer, so we're 3 minutes in, guys. She stood up with everybody else and she sat down with everybody else. But as we call the actors in one by one, as if they were patients, she was the only one in the waiting room. She stood up. So the people we hang around absolutely almost molds our life.
Wow.
If you're hanging around non-believers, no, I'm sorry. If you're hanging around 9 depressed people, you become the 10th. That's it. I mean, wow. Learning part of the brain, mirroring part of the brain, because we pick up. I remember my professor sending me to the zoo for a year in England, for a year. Yeah. 9 months of the year, it's freezing. In the rain and the snow, I was like, I detested that man for that. But what I learned by watching primates was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Them animals could talk. Them animals would have been like, man, who hates you? I mean, like, it's snowing out, buddy.
You crazy?
Yeah. Like, it's good to see you again. Tell you that.
Now, a final closing questions before I get to my final thoughts. Dr. Rob, there's someone out there watching right now, right this second, who feels stuck. Broken, maybe beyond saving. What would you say directly to them right now, Dr. Rob?
You got to start dialogue with somebody that you trust. Because when we start dialogue with somebody, the problem becomes, it's all hard, but the problem becomes solutionable. Because you'll think you're going through this right now, and you're the only person that's done the things you've done and feel the way you feel. That's not the case. There are millions of people just in your place. So here's what I want you to do, okay? If you're in that place of desperation, if you're in that place of contemplating doing something permanent when the problem is temporary, okay? 214-600-0210 is my personal phone number. Now, nobody's ever going to sell you anything, and it comes to, I have gatekeepers, as you can imagine. You're going to come straight to me. You're going to send me a text. Okay, Dr. Rob, I saw you on the show. I'm going to text you back almost immediately because I can do that one with patients. Then we're going to arrange a phone call. During that phone call, I'm going to change your life in 20 minutes. If I don't change your life, which hasn't happened yet, I'll send you $100 for wasting your time. Because here's the situation. I would rather spend 20 minutes with you of my time than hear of your suicide next week.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah, because wow. that's all we got is time, right?
Come on, you man.
Wow. Well, like you said, save as many as you can.
As many. I want to get up there, and he goes to me, I can't even count these numbers. How many? What? I mean, I've lost count when we got to 2 billion. What's going on, Rob? And I go, yeah, that's it, man. I mean, people say you must have a bad day. You can't be happy all the time. My reply straight away says who? And my second reply is, you mustn't have the life that I have.
Mm.
Because there was a park bench back in Manchester. That was my restroom, my living room, my bedroom, my dining room. For 14 months. I get up, I've dry bed this morning. I got 2 dogs kissing my face and my wife is making tea for me in the morning. How the hell can I have a bad day? And we heal people. So when I was in England, John said, remember Isaiah 61. I ain't read the Bible. I netted it and didn't even look at it. When I came over here many months later for the 3 weeks, I met a guy who had a group, like a church group, but it wasn't a church group. It was just purely for Jesus and what he would want and what he was teaching. And he said, we've been waiting for you. And I said, well, what? And he said, we've been waiting for you. You're a prophet that's come over. And I went, oh, let me stop you there. You know, I'm just a psychologist. And he said, would you come and speak? We've been waiting for you, which I thought was weird. I said, yeah, I'd love to come and speak at your place. And as I'm walking out the door, I almost opened the door and I turned around and I said, Hardy, what's the group's name? What'd you call yourself? And he said, we call ourselves Isaiah 61.
Whoa.
And that was one of the connections. So when I looked it up, it's, you know, bringing healing to the sickness and great news to their families. That's what we do.
Wow. Unbelievable, you guys. Dr. Rob, thank you so much for joining us, man. This next segment, it's kind of how I wrap the show up. But thank you so much, man, for coming on, for spending some time away from your family with us, man. You're an absolute blessing to us. You're an absolute blessing to this world. Man,
you're a blessing to Texas,
man.
Damn, bro. God bless Texas.
But yes, before we let you go, this is my final thoughts. You know, tonight wasn't just a conversation. It was a reminder. A reminder that no matter how far you've fallen, no matter how broken you feel, no matter how many times you've told yourself, this is just who I am, that's not the end of your story. Because we just heard from a man who went from playing with legends to being homeless to fighting addiction, trauma, and everything in between. And somehow, he didn't just survive it. He turned it into purpose. Let that sink in. The same pain that tried to destroy him became the very thing that now helps save others. And maybe, just maybe, that's what your pain is trying to do too. See, addiction isn't just about substances. It's about pain. It's about trauma. It's about the things we try to bury but never actually heal. But healing is possible. Change is possible. And your life is not too far gone. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many times you've failed. You are not disqualified. Because if a man can go from rock bottom to rebuilding his life and helping thousands of others find theirs, then what makes you think you can't? And maybe the breakthrough you've been waiting for isn't going to come from the outside. Maybe it starts with one decision, one moment, one step to say, I'm not staying here anymore. So tonight, don't just watch this and move on. Do something about it. Reach out. Ask for help. That's the first step, because your story isn't over, and the same God that met him in the darkest moment is ready to meet you and yours. And those are my final thoughts.
And amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Rob.
Of course, man.
We will always be here for a platform for you, man. If you ever got anything you want to talk about, if you ever want to spread the word on anything, you hit us up, man. We're here for you whenever you want, man. You're an absolute blessing, man, to this world. Like I said, to us, man, what a blessing that we got to meet you, man. I truly, truly, truly believe that.
Yeah, and you say you don't do it for the money, and it's our pleasure to share your word with everybody. So thanks for coming to the show. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks to you too, man. I mean, God, what the work that you do is, that's why it's a sad evening at 7 o'clock, because of the work that you guys do. You know, sometimes it can be lonely. We know that. Sometimes, you know, five people show up to the podcast. We know that. But guys are legends, man. I tell you, I don't care if you want me at midnight one next time. I'm going to be here, because I truly, truly admire what you guys are doing and saving lives, man. So thank you so much for allowing me on.
God bless you, Dr. Rob. And like I said, we're here for you anytime. You guys get up for Dr. Rob. God bless you, brother. Go see your family, man.
Thank you, sir.
See you, bud. Wow.
Good job, man. Good show.
Come on, man. Dr. Rob, dude. Dr. Rob Kelly. What a story, dude. And did you hear him, Josh? Yeah. When he said, I tell you what I want you to do. And he blurted out a phone number. I got his phone number. That's his phone number, bro.
Yeah, it's actually on right on his website.
Is that crazy? Right,
yeah, yeah, if you go to robkelly.com, scroll down a little bit, it's got the office and his personal number right there.
Look at that, bro.
Oh, yeah, he's not playing.
He ain't playing with this, bro.
No reindeer games.
He ain't playing no reindeer. You hear him? He turns down a huge pop star because they said they didn't believe in Jesus. He's like, well, I can't help you because that's the first thing we're going to do.
Well, yeah, because
I'm going to hand you over to Jesus.
Well, yeah, yeah, let you figure it out. Because, I mean, that person would take his time that he could be helping somebody who does believe in Jesus, who does want to change. You know what I mean? It's a great pivot like you were doing. You know what I'm saying? It's good.
Yeah. What a guest, man. What a guest. What a blessing to the world, man. We need more people like that, man. We do. We need more people like that. So humble.
It was. So shout humble. Out to all the people that showed up. Miss Jerry, it's good to see you again. Thanks for watching the show, as always.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Had a few Mama others. Had Joanne, Charles on here.
We had Charles in there. Yep.
Did you get her the badge yet?
Jody was in there. What's that, brother?
Did you get her the badge yet for, you know?
No, we ain't got the badge yet, brother.
You got to give her the badge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we do. We got to get a badge. That's right.
Yeah. Well, good show, man. Good show.
Absolutely. That was a fantastic show, man. I really thought it was great.
Yeah. I'm going to post in the chat. Post a couple. Go ahead.
PM Eastern. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube. We're going to be rebroadcasting this on iHeartRadio and our YouTube channel. We'll see you guys next week. But do me a favor. Remember that your rope's longer than you think. God's rope, it has no end. And hold on tight. Let's lift our eyes. Welcome home to light it up alive. Lift our eyes. Welcome home to light it up alive. Lift our eyes. Welcome home to light it up alive.